Thank you for tuning in. This is the Afterthought Podcast with your man, Joe Hill. And this is something that I'm excited. We started this off. This is a three-part series. This is our third part of the series. And we're going to dive into that topic about men doing better. And we got a female perspective in the building. None other than Vibe with Tiff and Jai Show. Tiff Tonto in the building. Hey!
What's up, Joe? How you doing?
I know. We mad. Like, we like fake radio with it, but we live. AnchorFM.com. I got you here. So before we dive into it, you know, how did you get that name, Tonto? You got to tell me, how did you get that? Where did that come from?
Okay, so it's real simple. I want to say back in the 90s, one of my childhood friends that I grew up with, she named me Tiff Tonto, and it's because I'm half Indian. And it's from the song she quoted, Biggie's song, Half Indian, they call it the Tonto. So that's how I got that name, and it stuck. So anybody that knows me, calls me Tonto, but people that don't really know me, they only know the name because I started using it for social media.
Right.
Before then, you know, nobody knew that name except for close people. And then once I shared it on social media, then everybody
just ran with it.
ran with it. And most people think it's my last name, and it's not.
She's like, no, it's a hyphen. Get it right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, those that don't know, that's tuning in to the podcast, Tiff is a part of a dope podcast called Vibe with Tiff and Jai Show. And, you know, it's a lot of podcasts out, but I will tell you that what they were doing and what they were building is dope. And it kind of inspired me to kind of get back into the relating to people and, you know, create another avenue for people to kind of relate to. So, yes, I'm glad I got you on here. How you living during this coronavirus, though? What's going on? How you living?
All right. So I work in a hospital, right? So we get all of these crazy updates. And initially, how I felt about it was like, okay, here comes some old bullshit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right. Some
made up shit, something they sprinkled in the air, you know, just whatever I'm thinking in regards of, you know, here's a new way to vaccinate us to get, you know, get us sick for real and make
the
more
conspiracy
money.
Theories.
So,
yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of that shit. Right. So I didn't really take it seriously. I'm like, well, it could be a virus, but I don't really understand the extremes. Like,
right.
More people died from the flu last week, and we got to do all of this now, you know? So at first I'm just like, okay, that's how I felt about it. Now I'm starting to say, okay, well, whatever it is, whether it's man-made, whether it's a plan behind it, whatever it is, people are actually getting sick. This is getting serious, whatever it is, whether they're lying or people are really getting sick, whatever it is, it's changing the way the world is moving today for us as Americans, you know?
And you're on the front line. You said you had a hospital, so like, you see what, all right, so Trump is saying everything's all right. Is everything all right from what your perspective is from someone that's working in a hospital?
Well, when I say I work for a hospital, I don't no longer work in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I work on an offsite, but we still get all of the updates, especially, you know what I mean, because we're in healthcare. Mm-hmm. So we get those, and it's constantly coming to your email, and it's overwhelming.
You just coughed just now. What's going on?
Yeah. Are you going to kick me off your podcast? Like,
all right, so look, you got a one cough minimum on this show. Now I'm playing. I'm playing around. Go ahead.
No, but I do have nurse friends, and from the nurse's perspective that have the hand-on-hand patient contact, they are saying that this is getting serious. And I have friends that initially felt the same way I felt about it. Like, okay, this is all some bullshit. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, I have one friend that lives out of state, and she was like, no, a 23-year-old nurse died. You know, this is getting crazy. And, you know, I have a friend that lives in the Bronx, and she works in a hospital. And she was saying that the cases are just crazy. You know, nurses
are
getting sick.
It's like they're coming in by the day. It's like by the minute.
Yeah.
It, It's coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's getting serious. And just like any other epidemic or pandemic, it's all serious because it's affecting somebody. You know what I mean? But it's just changing the world. And how I feel about it is like, okay, you know, yeah, this is inconvenient. Yeah, this is scary. You don't know what's going on. But when I think about other countries or even other states that don't have clean water to drink from, you know, food supply, they don't have hospitals, you know what I mean? So it's just like, why am I panicking? Like, you poor, privileged American.
You just said a whole lot with that, because we do take it for granted. I think waking up every day, for me too, is just like, I wake up and I want to get to the routine, and I'm like, wait a minute, we're still in this standstill of like, I can't do anything. But then I'm thinking of the people that's like really affected in the hospital, maybe dying, or may not even, you know, be able to see their family members. So it's definitely hitting me, because I'm trying to relate, but I can't, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I'm fortunate to where I don't have to deal with that side of it, you know?
But not even the people that's in the hospital, because then it's still a way for us to make it personal. You know what I mean?
Right,
but
exactly.
The impersonal or the selfless part about it is like, okay, look, in third world countries, they're doing this every day for years and centuries. You know what I mean? And we're crying because there's no toilet tissue. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, you know, it doesn't really make any sense to me.
Why they go out and buy so much toilet paper? How many shits can you take in a day? I don't understand that. Like,
no, what I want to know is how many shits are you going to take in a day in your house because you're quarantined and not use a fucking shower to wash your shitty ass? If all else fails, when in doubt, jump your funky ass in the shower.
There you go.
The soap is not running out, but the toilet tissue is.
It's crazy.
And that's when my wheels start spinning. Like, this is awesome. I'm about to make toilet tissue.
There you go.
I mean, this is awesome.
Or invest. And buy some stocks in Kimberly Clark, because Kimberly Clark is the name of the brand that, you know, has the Pampers, the toilet paper, the paper towel. Mm-hmm. Those that are into stocks that's listening right now, their stocks are very cheap. But
where's the toilet tissue from? Then again, I'm like, okay, so
right,
they make toilet tissue. Do they make toilet tissue? Because they make everything. So
they make the mask. So they probably make the toilet paper too. I mean,
they like, fuck y'all. China is mad at us. Like, maybe we owe them some money. I don't know.
We gonna fuck with their toilet paper supply. We really upset with
them. Yeah, yeah.
So, Americans. It has you. What has the COVID, aka the Corona? How does it have you moving in your own house? Like, I know for me, like, I'm literally doing the laundry. You know, I'm washing too many dishes. I'm just at the point where I'm just like, I need to get out of here. So how would you feel at home just being quarantined and being away from everybody?
Well, I feel like I'm always on quarantine, you know, because the lifestyle up here in upstate is very slow. I don't really, you know, I don't have any family here, and I don't really have any friends here. Like, you know, I don't go to work and I come home. So normal for me, you know, so... I don't know, but
and also you're a parent, you know. I mean, I know you're like, how's your daughter taking it? Like, is she like scared? Is she like, whatever? Or how's she handling it?
She's not scared, but she's also like me. She thinks like me. You know what I mean? And that's just how my family is, period. We just always keep a raw approach to everything in life. Period. So it's just like, you know, we're wise enough to know what's going on and that this is a serious thing. But at the same time, it's just like, you know what? What are you gonna do? You know what I mean? What are you gonna do? Like, I went to the supermarket the other day, right? And it didn't make sense. It is dangerous, but is it really? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, is it really? You know what I'm saying? And the way America is not prepared for it doesn't make sense to me. So it's just like, you're not going to stress me the fuck out in here because none of this makes sense. You know, so we're in a supermarket and they got all of these things on the floor, like little circles to tell you where to stand away from people. But if people are really making, I mean, paying attention, they will say, like, what does this 6 feet distancing mean if you touch the same box of cereal that 30 other people done touched?
That's a good point. And that's what they were saying on the news. Like, people are touching stuff and you going in the store, you don't even realize it, but it's on the surface. The virus is on the surface. The 2 or 3
days.
Yeah,
it's not even airborne. So, like, shut. Like, it doesn't make sense. So I'm watching all of this go on in the supermarket. And I'm like, listen, I'm already out here. So unless you're going to, you know, stay away from society completely, just like you, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
It is what it is.
Like,
you
out here. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be driving myself crazy. So they got us doing all of this dumb shit in the supermarket. So this is starting to bother me because now I'm getting aggravated.
Tell us why you mad. So now,
I'm mad because people are so quick to follow instruction and not know why we're giving that instruction. That, and then not paying attention to everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, the smallest thing is just dumb. So you got me standing in a single file line with every patron in the supermarket, right? Mm-hmm. A single file line. We're on each other's shoulders at this point. And then just to disperse us to the actual register, right? So where you, when you get to a register, then they got the red tape on the floor, right? And they're like 6 feet apart. So I'm like, this is dumb. I was just on your shoulders in this line. Now I gotta be 6 feet apart this in this line. And shit. Like, what does, it don't make sense. We done all touch the same groceries. And
it's hard and to really keep us away from each other. It's hard.
Right. And is 6 feet really enough distance to keep a contagious person from transmitting this virus to you?
Hell no. Listen, when I walked in the supermarket, I saw the security guard. He looked at me. And this is about the third time I've been coming to buy some eggs. You know how many eggs I went through in the last week and a half? And he looking at me and he got on the mask. And I'm just like, damn, we can't even. I have to pass you regardless and walk by you. So I feel you. I don't get it. I really don't.
It's just dumb. And to me, it was just like y'all got us in here playing red light, green light, 1, 2, 3. You know what I mean? Like, this is some dumb shit. It don't make sense. So I'm not saying that the virus is not a serious thing. I'm just saying that if you come outside, you're taking a risk regardless. You're taking that risk regardless because the way this is set up, you can't really defeat it. And then their rules and their precautions don't make sense. It don't make sense. So for the extremes that they're taking, shutting shit down, shutting down a whole economy, a greedy country like this, you're going to shut down a whole economy. You're going to these extremes. Like,
just for that, right.
It still doesn't make sense on how y'all got us doing this shit. You don't got enough tests. Everybody can't get tested. You know what I mean? Stand 6 feet apart. But it's just dumb. I think it's just to get people to follow instruction. And it's just like, listen,
so
if you healthy.
If you healthy, though, you good technically, right? Like, not healthy. Like,
I mean,
eating your kale and spitting
it.
I mean, like, living a pretty decent healthy life.
Yeah, like if you got a strong immune system, you should be fine. But the thing is people are getting, like, when they tell us that someone has died and they're the age 23 or age 36, they want to scare you with the number, but they don't want to tell you if they had underlying health issues.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's really an if it's a respiratory disease, you can't really have an autoimmune deficiency.
You can't.
You know what
you
I mean? And if so many people have them, you know, and it be you, when people think autoimmune, they probably think AIDS right away. You know what I mean? But
right.
It's things like lupus. It's things like, you know.
It's true.
It's other things. You know what I mean? Well, people that had cancer and they're in remission and they still, you know, radiation has eaten away at them, so their body is not functioning, you know, at 100.
Especially the older folk.
The older folk, but younger people got cancer. you know?
It's true.
Do you remember growing up seeing any cancer kids in your neighborhood? I don't. I only remember the St. Jude's commercial.
I think I had one.
It wasn't happening in my real life.
I had one bald head kid in my middle school class, and he wasn't bald headed because his head was falling out. He was bald headed because I think he had cancer of some sort. So, but that's like one. That's one out of, you know what I'm saying? But it still has us moving differently, even at home. Like I find myself watching documentaries. I find the movies I've been wanting to catch up on. You know, just so like I find the time I'm being creative with it. But what was the last thing you watched on Netflix?
Oh, I just watched Uncorked. Just like
Uncorked or
Uncorked. Like the wine cork.
Oh, it's like okay.
So this guy, he grew up, is a black owned business, you know, a black owned family business. His grandfather had a barbecue shack, and then he passed it down to his, you know, his son. So now this father essentially wants to pass it down to his son, but his son has other dreams. So it just shows that whole dynamic where, you know, a person never really got to choose what they wanted to do because they were at a point in their life where they didn't quite know what they wanted to do. So
this is your hope.
This is, you know, this is your follow the legacy, or, you know, make it grow.
And, that's a wine company that the family owns? Is that what it is?
No, well, the barbecue pit. So say, all right, so father, it's a young man that wants to be a sommelier. And I hope I'm saying it right. So that's what he wants to do. But he works for his father at his family barbecue shack where they sell ribs. It's not really what he want to do, but, you know, being black and poor, you got to do that. So he has this struggle with his father because his father never really, like, supports him, which, you know, stereotypically black men don't know how
to speak
or show emotion, right? So this is where we got to do better, right? So they don't know how to show their emotions. So he's having this dynamic between his son, and it all comes from, well, I didn't know what I wanted when I was your age. So it's that resentment there. You know what I mean? That
that's
that family dynamic. And even if you don't say it out loud and it's subconsciously, it's still happening. You know what I mean? Because you're fighting your demons. So you see this dynamic, and then
it's called
see it come together. Uncorked. It's really dope.
I'm watching shit like Tiger King. You seen that shit? The dude with the tiger.
My daughter need to hang out.
Let me tell you something. People was like, yo, Joe, you gotta watch this shit. And I scroll past a lot of shit in Netflix just because I spent about 45 minutes looking for some shit. But I saw it, and my man was like, yo, watch this shit. I said, let me put this shit on. I'm watching this shit, and I'm like, he really is the Tiger King, but it's too much talking. But it's weird to a fact that you want to keep watching it. I don't know if that's, like, people that's tuning in right now.
It's kind of like Bounty Hunter for the tiger people, right?
Listen, it's like when I cook, I'll have, like, some fish sauce. I can't stop smelling it before I use it. I think that's, like, a thing. It's like an addiction. I got to smell it first, and then I use it. But yes, it's like that addiction where I can't stop watching it, even though it's terrible.
But everybody has that show.
Everybody has
that show. Was for me.
But like you said, we got to do better. Like you said, you got to do better. Mm-hmm. And I think we warmed up now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And coming off our last episode with my guy JP, you know, we were tackling the issue about the male perspective around how we approach women. And this society, how do we get from the cat calling? How do we get from there to putting stuff in women's drinks to now I'm using my power to get what I need from you, whether that's sex, whether that's a position. So I want to ask you this. And I know, you know, we've chatted before about this in conversation. From a woman's perspective, like, why is this happening? I asked JP, like, how do we, but I want to start with you. Like, why are we like this? And maybe you can give a female's perspective of it more so. Why are we like this?
Like what? Like doing things like
I say, like the approach, you know what I'm saying? In terms of why did we skip going from being respectful to just being disrespectful per se, or, you know, take it to a level of we don't respect women? And this is, like I said, this is not me. I'm just saying this is what I see. So I say, you know what? I got to get a woman's perspective on this.
Well, I think it's a lot that plays into that. I think a lot of it is back in the days when we had music, you know, the music spoke differently. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Even when it was vulgar, you know what I mean? It still wasn't like degrading to a woman. It was all about really trying to get this woman's attention because you think she's worthy of it. You know what I mean? Somewhere, right. Even when you was calling her a bitch or a hoe, somewhere, you know, like Tupac called women bitches and hoes, but he still spoke a message to
That's a fact.
The women. You know what I mean? So it was mm-hmm. just different. But now, you know, the music, I don't even know what the music says.
The music is
horrible.
Yeah, it is. This new generation
and
is terrible.
We already have between, you know, amongst black women and black men, a huge communication gap. So we already don't know how to coexist. Why? Because families are broken up, you know what I mean? And black men don't feel needed. And then black women don't feel like y'all stand up for us enough. Like, it's just a whole bunch of misunderstanding because of lack of communication. And then now you got each other hating each other when they already taught us to hate each other.
Exactly, right, right, right.
We're supposed to be trying to make each generation better. You know what I mean? Because the generation that generation, they did everything they could to give us the space and the freedom to make a difference. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we're just mm-hmm. we're going backwards. This shit don't make no sense. So men don't know how to communicate with women. Black men don't know how to communicate with women. Then they're talking to other black men that don't know how to communicate with women.
Yeah, and
that's what they're fucking learning from. You know.
Let me ask you this. What is, and when I say the approach, what do you, in your opinion, what do you think is the mm-hmm. best approach? Just from you, not saying anything's wrong, mm-hmm. just if they was reading Tonto's manual on how to approach women, what would your, give the, you know, the fellas listening that may not know how to approach some game right now?
Okay, so I can only speak from my point of view and like the women that I encounter and how we all feel. You know what I mean? And then every woman is different. So it's all about what you want. What's your attraction? You know what I mean? What you're attracted to, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just be real. You know what I mean? Be who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I want to be who I am. You know,
right.
And
right.
whatever, you know, whatever a person may be thinking from their first look at me or whatever their perception may be without knowing me, half the time they're all wrong. You know what I mean? So I want to just be who I am. I don't want to be this person that you think I am. And I appreciate the same thing from a man. You know what I mean? Like, so if you just be real, and not to say that just because you're being real and being yourself that I want that, because maybe
right.
I'm not attracted to you. You know what I mean? Or maybe I'm not emotionally available at the time, you know? So just understand you can still be you, and whoever you don't work with, it wasn't for you anyway, and be okay with that, you know? So I think men get caught up in rejection. And
that was a big thing that, you know, JP was saying too in his, and mm-hmm. I know, I'm sure you can relate. I think, why is it men are so fearful of rejection, shooting a shot, quote unquote?
Because, all right, so how do you, nobody feels good being rejected, right? Like, mm-hmm. no one really teaches you that rejection is good anyway. Like, when you're in kindergarten, when you're in school, it's all about validation. You get a gold star. Everybody is reaching to go get that gold star. Nobody wants to reach to get the you ain't shit speech mm-hmm. in the corner, right? You know what I mean? So we're taught that. So I forgot. I lost my train of thought. But yeah, oh, men don't want the rejection.
The fear of rejection,
so,
right?
Naturally, we don't want that. And then men are always told, don't cry. You know what I mean? Stop being a bitch. Man up. What does all of that mean? Like, I had a friend that was the same way with her her boy. And I'm like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? And not because I'm a girl mom, it's because I just don't get it, because that's not human. You know what I mean? It's not human to expect somebody not to cry because of their gender. That shit don't make sense. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it's just like, okay, men are not able to be vulnerable, and that's where women have to do better. You know what I'm saying? So we want this man to do better, but we don't know how to coexist with one another. So we're learning from the same hurt people. You don't go sit down with a bunch of angry birds and try to find out how to coexist with a man. What do you got to do? You got to go talk to a man. You know? So I have male friends, you know? So I enjoy the male perspective, because another woman can't tell me how to be with a man. She can tell me how to be with a man, but she can't tell me how to be with a man. You know what I mean? So you got to learn from both. So I think that's what we need to do more as a whole, as a collective, just talk to one another. Because you're going to ask your dumbass homeboy that have a problem getting pussy. You know what I mean? What do you think his advice is going to be like? He's jaded because he don't like you, because you seem to effortlessly get all the females. So everybody got their own things going on, and we're trying to pull from that. You can't. You really can't.
That's and my thing is, I think that's a perfect segue. Have you ever had a guy, and I'm sure you have, but maybe one story or maybe one issue in particular where a dude came up to you that was overly aggressive, in a way that was just like, really? Like, we immediately turned you off because you're like, how do we get to this? Like, has that ever happened to you lately? Or in the last year or so? Or ever, maybe?
I want to say the aggressiveness that would actually turn me off is if someone is being downright disrespectful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So people don't usually come at me that way, and I don't want to say it like I'm some you know, someone that's better than any other woman.
Right.
That,
no, I know.
You know,
I
know what I mean? Because it's not our responsibility for someone else to be a good person. You know what I mean?
That's a fact.
People don't really approach me like that. I don't know if it's because I don't seem approachable. And now, these days, the way we meet one another is totally different from how we met one another back in the day. We didn't have social media. Mm-hmm. So you got to see how a person is moving around in the world, and then you were attracted to all the little intricate things that built up. You know, now it's just like, we are attracted to whatever the fuck is shown to us on a wall.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
It's so true, though. Times have changed. You're right.
Yeah, so times have changed. So we don't even know how to even interact or really like somebody for the right reason. It's all a visual. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may have seen a girl in a neighborhood and it's like, oh, she's attractive. Her body's nice. She got all of the little things that turns you on physically, but you also know how she smiles. You also know how she might treat her friends. You also know what drama she's in, what she's not in. You know what I mean? You also know those little pieces that help you put everything together.
That's a fact.
In a way to make you make a decision about a person.
Right.
You know, on an authentic level. We don't have that. You know what I'm saying? So I forgot what the question is. So people don't come at me like that, because I don't put that out there. You know? I'm always talking shit, joking, laughing. I don't really sit up there and post on my wall at 3 in the morning. I'm bored. Who want to FaceTime? You know, all the little indicators that let a person know that this girl might be desperate or whatever guys put up in their head. You know what I mean?
It's true. It's true.
And make their assumptions or their analyzations about you. So this is how people are interacting.
And it's different, like you said, we're interacting in a different time, a different space. Things are very different. Like, and it's something I was saying with the men in power, and this is a perfect segue with the Cosby, the Matt Lauer from ABC, you got Morgan Freeman, you know, I can go on and on, you know, R. Kelly, we said some names in the last episode too. It's like, how do you, in your opinion, how did we get from catcalling to now we're dropping shit in drinks to using our power? And this is something I said too, like, these dudes had to be corny. Like, they had to be, like, they were suckers in middle school and high school. So I'm from a female perspective, how do you think it evolved? How did it get to this level where we at now, where, you know, we're in court and you facing jail time because you was trying some shit, you know?
Well, the way I feel about this, and I may sound crazy because I'm a woman, but...
You're not.
So I'm a woman, right? But I also like to look at every angle, right? Because I'm a fair person. But so my thing is this. Whatever those men did or didn't do, if it violated a woman in any kind of way, then I'm a woman first, and that's not right. I'm also a mother that is raising a girl into a woman. So no, that's not okay, right? But this is not any different because you're celebrities. This is happening in our families. Like, we know Uncle Ray Ray can't fucking... You can't leave your kid with Uncle Ray Ray. Like, oh, fuck no. You know what I mean?
That's a fact.
Even in those families, on these levels, the secret is going on. So this is nothing new. You know what I mean? Bill Cosby. We're talking about Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby was who? Our dad. You know what I mean?
America's dad. It's a fact.
So my age, your age. So this was happening back then. We didn't know it. And it's whoever allowed it to happen as well is like, they're just as guilty. So when your mama didn't pay attention to you because she knew her boyfriend was molesting you in the room, she's just as guilty as the man that did it. And it goes the same way with the industry. So everybody allowed R. Kelly to do this shit because he was making money. This happened. You know what I mean? Children were always being, was prey, you know what I mean, to older men. Even older men's grandpas are still like, you can't even walk down the street if you fucking 16 or 17, you know what I mean? Because they're horny and nasty. So it's nothing new that older men were attracted to younger girls. You know what I mean? And it's nothing new that everybody kept this a secret. So my thing is, so why are we bringing these men in court now, all of these years? Now, I don't think it's just the women that's doing it. Now, I can't say that there's a statute of limitation of when a victim should speak out about their trauma. It can take you for years. I've never been through that personally, but I know a lot of people have. And you know what I mean? It's not, oh, it happens, you should speak up. It's all about how you need to move. You know what I mean? That's psychological. So the women can speak up at any time, but wanting to do everything you can to bring him down, no, y'all know this. Y'all know Bill Cosby was bugging bitches. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't know what nigga in the club be drugging bitches, and so do his peers. You know what I mean? But why so, like, he's about to die, he's 90. So it don't make sense. And all you bitches that was high, like, I know, like, 10 bitches now that don't know what they did last summer because they fucking drank and smoked and willingly. So you got a Quaalude and you remember when you supposed to be fucking turning, getting dementia. Now you can remember. Like, you bitches is old. So I don't get it, but I get it from a woman's perspective if that has happened. Say it whenever you want to say it. And if someone else gave you courage to say it, then, you know, ride that energy. But for the networks and the industry and everybody else that already knew that assisted this type of stuff and that did it too, it don't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me to allow him to spend his last days in a jail like that, because he only did what that lifestyle he lived made.
And what everybody was doing.
Right.
We had an interview on Larry King Live, and they were joking back and forth on live television. And Cosby is just like, yeah, you know, you take Spanish Fly and you drop a little bit and they drink and it's good night. And they were jokingly laughing on live television on Larry King Live. And I was just like, this was a norm in 1985. Like, this had to be.
They had Coke parties. Like, what's normal for our era about, seven summers ago? People were putting Molly in girls' drinks. It doesn't change. Yep. You know what I mean? It doesn't change. Everything is the same. Like, Studio 54, all the gay Coke parties. What's the difference? Nothing changes. It's just about who wants to accept it or not.
The fact.
No, we don't like that. That shit is out of here no more. This is embarrassing us. This is, you know what I mean? Oh, like, it don't make sense. So it's the same way, like, what is doing the comedy now? Like, you can't even talk about nothing because everybody got a problem because they don't like certain things now. So what? You know? Like, it don't... It's life. It's happening, you know? So... I just don't get it.
It's weird right now, you know, and the climate of, I think the good thing about all of this is as we move forward in the generations, when our kids get older, they're seeing all this. And of course they're like, whoa. So they're able to process it. But it's just going to be interesting to see 10, 15, 20 years from now, the climate of, are we going back to the come and talk to me? Or are we going, I'm trying to fuck? You know, like that's is the generations going to help me get back to how it should be? And I don't know, I guess. I don't know. We got to.
Well, I would hope so, because with this epidemic or pandemic or however they want to label it to make it sound more scarier, because like just a few months ago, I was scared of white vans. Now I'm fucking scared of anybody that's 6 feet close to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's always something to be scared about, and I'm tired of being.
I was saying this too.
You know,
I'm scared of if you thinking about coughing, you can't get next. I don't care if you were sick last year.
So it's just teaching us how to be not social, like even more not social. Like, they already took the step with social media and how it distanced us. So is this the next step, or is this the step back into, all right, so many people need to get in touch with themselves anyway. So like you said, you've been spending more time with yourself, you learning more things about yourself in just a week. That says so much. It's funny when you say it, but
Tiff,
it's
I'm
not.
Drinking wine now, Tiff. I wasn't drinking wine before the COVID. You hear me?
So this is a good thing. So for the good, for the people that's trying to elevate and the people
trying
that
to elevate,
are strong,
right?
You know, and what they said, this is only the strong survive, and it's so true. So this is now the determining factor. Do you take this time to elevate, or do you take this time to, you know, digress? What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, and it don't mean, and now the word elevate has made people feel intimidated by elevate, because everything is so flashy. So elevate is like, if you're not on a yacht, if you're not doing this, you're not doing this turned up life that looks so glamorous and costs money, you haven't elevated. You know what I mean? So you got to get on the right elevator. Which elevator you want to get on? You know what I'm saying? So,
exactly. So
are you going to get on a spiritual elevator, or are you going to get on this material elevator and then you just going to fucking fall down? Because this is not the time where you can get all of that. Doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? If you ain't got it now, you're not going to get it now, right here in this space. not material, but spiritual. And then when you come out of this, you can have whatever you want.
And I hope we come out of this with that mentality, because I don't know how much longer this, listen, the way it's going right now in terms of with the COVID and us being creative, I feel like, I don't know, people are saying 2 months, 3 months, who knows? Like, this can go, how long you think this will go on for? Like 2-3 months? Like, maybe the rest of the year?
I think that my friend asked me this, and I said, I think it can go on for however long they want it to go on, you know, or however long we will allow them to let it go on. You know what I mean? Like, this is, the thing is, we are so privileged and we don't even know it, that we forget that, like, in this crisis, we forget, oh, what, how long you think they can do this to us? Well, what you thought the slave said? You know what I mean? Like, why do we feel like we shouldn't go through some shit?
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Especially on what America is built on. And that's what helps me keep everything in its proper perspective and be like, I damn sure don't want nothing horrible to happen to me or the people I love or have to deal with that. But it's like, so does the people over there. That's getting
They got it worse.
You know what I mean?
A fact.
They got it worse. So it's just like, so was like Harriet Tubman, what she had to do. Rosa Parks, like, let's ask them. How about that? But when you think about it like that, it's like, just shut the hell up. Like, stay in your house. Like, get to know your family. Get to know you.
Get to know
Find
yourself.
Find out you like wine.
Exactly. Yeah. Yo. Got me drinking bottle, and I'm not even sipping it. I'm not doing the whole swirling. I'm drinking it like it's water. I'm drinking it at a rate where I shouldn't be, because I'm supposed to enjoy it. But it's all good though. You know, I find that this is a good time. I think we'll come out of this. Like I was telling my boy, I'm a black man in America. I know I'm gonna survive this. You know what I'm saying? I just gotta stay in the house. That's all.
Definitely, but, just stay in the house. But then again, it's like, what if staying in a house is no good? Because that's what you're supposed to build your antibodies. Like, you can't build antibodies if you're not catching germs. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a fact. That's another fact.
It doesn't make sense. So it's just like, I feel like this. Live your life how you've been living your life. You just, like, before people could have raw sex all they wanted to. Now they're strapped the fuck up because things are different. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing. Live your life how you've been living your life. You just got to be a little bit more careful. And then in the long run, you're just teaching yourself good habits to self-care, self-love. Like, take it as that. You know what I mean?
Take it
in. So, yeah, take it. Just try to find a jewel in everything. And then you just be like, all right, maybe I'm supposed to be a hippie. I don't know. It is what it is.
Maybe I was supposed to be Maxwell looking with a beard, because I got a beard now. I never have a beard. I got damn pork chop sideburns growing in. This shit is getting out of hand, and I may come out looking like somebody totally different, and it's okay. You know?
And you might be all right with that. You
I
know?
Might be all right. You know what I'm saying? So, well,
and some people won't.
Some people won't.
And some people won't. They be like, oh, this nigga came out like Jay-Z? Oh, so now you Jay-Z.
Okay, Jay-Z in the hood. Okay, okay. Word. No, but
it's good.
Appreciate you. You know that. Okay. Definitely coming on here, rapping, talking the woman perspective. Let me not say female. The woman's perspective of the approach, and giving some insight. So my question is, before we get out of here, when are you getting, I know you say you was working on some things. I'm going to put the pressure on you right now. What are you working on? What you got coming up? Talk to the people, because they're going to be following you. They're going to be checking in with you. So what do you got coming up?
What do I have coming up? I have a podcast that I'm going to be revamping. I had a podcast last year. Me and my co-host, it was called Vibe with Chip and Jai, and it was in we was really thugging it out. I don't know how we can call this. Yeah, we was, because we were filming we were filming twice a week, like going live twice a week, not even filming twice a week. So most podcasts is weekly, a one show weekly. We were doing two shows a week. And one, the Bible Tiff and Jai started out as, like, the whole premise and setup of that show was talk show. Like, right. This is just a vibe. You know what I mean?
Right,
food
right,
and wine right. Every time, we just vibe. And we talked about whatever topic we were going to talk about, but we brought on a local Black-owned business entrepreneur.
Nice. I like that. I definitely like that. That was dope, what y'all was doing. I like that.
Yeah. We did that, and we promoted their business, and we didn't get them on to just talk about the business. We had questions, and we just had fun, deep topics, and we added a game so that whoever was watching them could connect with the person, because that's who you buy from. Like, when you listen to music, you're listening to that artist. You know what I mean? You bought into that artist. You know what
right.
I mean? People buy into, like, their favorite sports players because they get to know them on a personal level and you get to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted everyone to connect with these people on a personal level and say, okay, well, I might see her in a community and she looks very serious and I'm intimidated by that. But you get on a show and be like, oh, she's funny. Oh, she laughs. Oh, she's real. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, you find out more.
About real mm-hmm. stuff. You find out more about that person, and then just like, that would draw whoever it's supposed to be in your tribe to you, because mm-hmm. generally that's what you want. Like, you don't just want everybody's business. You know what I
no,
mean?
Exactly.
You want the right business. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
So exactly.
That's what we did. And then, you know, we got to be a little ratchet. So as we were bringing people in, yeah, we got to be a little ratchet because we're women and we wanted people to see that about us too. Like, yeah, you can take us serious enough to respect us as women, but you can be like,
right.
oh, that's still my bitch. Oh, she's like the homie or whatever. Like, she's real. So we had both of that so that you can see that we are real people. Forget what you think you want to make up in your head, but we're real people and we shouldn't be embarrassed to talk about whatever. You know what I mean? So
right.
we had a guy on there with us. So it was three of us, and we had male perspective. So we would go back, and that's where we did our current events, and we just talked greasy. You know what I mean?
Like, just talk greasy.
Yeah, just talk greasy. So you got to see, oh, Tiffany is kind of a little loco. You know what I mean? Or
she's
a little serious. You know, you got to see all of that. So for some reason, I'm not going to say the reason right now.
You ain't got to. We ain't got to take it there.
You know. So we're not doing Bible Tiff and Jai anymore. But Jai also actually did that because I said I wanted to do podcasts and
right,
comedy.
Right, right.
So that was me and her saying, you know what? You bored, I'm bored. And
everybody
we met online.
Creative. That's what's
yeah.
up. Exactly.
And I met her online like I met you online. Like, so
right.
I don't even know how I met her. You know, so
right.
we was just on Facebook, and
mm-hmm.
I would compliment her. She would compliment me, and her and her husband had a podcast, and it was called Being Married Is, and they would talk about stuff in their marriage, you know what I mean? To show
right.
you all of those dynamics that, no, it's not, I don't like this nigga all the time.
Right,
you know,
right.
like you know what I mean? So, and I'm like, oh, I want to come on your show, because she had a segment where she just had a friend and it was like Keep It Real Fridays or whatever. I don't know what it was. I'm like, let's do this. And I expressed to her that my interest in comedy, and you know, we were just talking. She's like, oh, you're funny.
Just vibing out.
Yeah, vibing out. So one day it was like, she tagged me in a Red Table Talk video, and she was like, You got a round table and I got a red tablecloth. What we doing this weekend? And I'm like, all
right.
And that was like how we really became cool. The first time I actually met her, I invited her to my house for a sip and chat.
Mm-hmm.
But that shit got too ratchet. I'm like, girl.
Anytime you drinking, shit gets out of hand.
No, no. Anytime you invite the wrong
right.
guest,
you're right.
Shit get out
no,
of
you're
hand.
Right. You're right. That's
you
other
know what I mean? You drinking right now. This shit ain't crazy. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're having a vibe, you know?
Right.
So
right.
that shit went into something else, and I was embarrassed. I'm like, look, no, it, people were still talking. It wasn't no fighting, but it was just like, mm-hmm. the content is just like, no, that's not what this is. We're supposed to put out a topic and go and just talk freely, organically, and let it go, let the conversation go wherever it goes. And that didn't happen. Right, right, right. So we ended up going to the movies. And that's how
movies. That's how that worked. Yeah, well, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited for you to bring it back. You know, we need that perspective. Yeah. So I thank you for coming on.
I think I want you to get a vote or just do something. What should we name the show? Because that's where I'm at right now. Okay. Having a true and authentic name that just makes sense. That's simple but makes sense.
I'm going
to
definitely
shoot you what I want to bring.
Let me think about it, because I like to think about it. I don't want to shoot you something that's whack. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I want to shoot you something that's fire. Get it lit. But I like the something, Tiff, Tonto, something that incorporates you and your perspective on whatever you're trying to do. So we'll definitely help you out with that. You know how we're doing. So thank y'all for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on the Afterthought Podcast on all social media platforms. We got Vibe with Tiff in the building. It's your man, Joe Hill. Y'all be safe, but more importantly, wash your hands, please, and your ass, all right? Wash your hands and your ass. Anything you want to say, Tiff, before we get out of here?
And if you got a cough, don't come in here. Don't come in here.
We cough like, I don't like that. Times. Everybody like, uh-oh, that's three for him, two for her.
You got to edit that out, put it like some cute little sound effects.
We good. But now, be safe. Y'all be blessed.